And so well done. And hopefully you really had a good conversation with God during that time and were encouraged and refreshed, because the scripture says we're refreshed when we do those kind of things. Also, I just want to say this. You guys are making my day today. For real. Yeah. I remember I saw somebody posted on Facebook around Mother's Day. And they said, you know, my kids always wonder what I want for Mother's Day. And I finally decided to answer them. What I really want for Mother's Day is just them to be here and interact with me. And so I'm looking out here today and I'm seeing a full house, some people I haven't seen in a while, and you're all, we're moving with the Spirit, and there's just a good spirit here today. And so guess what? You're making my day. Okay? Moms love to interact with their kids on Mother's Day, and a pastor loves to see a full house of people pressing in to God. And so thank you. You're making my day. All right. It's time for Kids Church. Okay, it's not time for Kids Church, because this is the first Sunday of the month. Okay, so now I know I just made some of your day. Love to see the pastor trip up a little bit. That's fun. If you've got a Bible or a Bible app, you could turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll get there in just a minute. We've been talking about the church. What is the church? And we went back to the original Greek language. The church is ekklesia, which is people called forth with a purpose. So the church is not a building or a meeting. While those things are included, really the church is people. Okay, it's followers of Christ that make up the church. And we've talked about how the church is the body of Christ. So every part is important and needed. There's diversity with unity, just like a human body has different parts, but they're all important. And the church is the temple of God. And so we are his people, we are prepared, and we welcome his presence because God inhabits the temple, and that's who we are. Then also we talked about the church is the family of God. And Naomi helped me with this one. We talked about family a little bit. And the church is like a family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we love and respect each other like a good family should. And then last week we talked about the church is the bride of Christ. And the bride, of course, is loved by the groom. That's the main point of being the bride, knowing how much the Lord loves us. But also as a bride, we want to submit and respect to our groom, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now in Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10, we're going to see how the church is the army of God. So would you please stand, and I'll read about 10 verses here. You can follow along. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." All right, you may be seated. As a church, we are the army of God. And I want to talk first off about the enemy that we fight. there really is an enemy, and if we're an army, we're prepared to deal with the enemy. So let's talk about the enemy a little bit. In verse 11, it says that it's the devil, and in verse 12, it clarifies that our battle is against spiritual forces of evil, not flesh and blood. Okay, let's be clear. As the army of God, our battle is not against other people. It's not a political battle. It's a spiritual battle that we face. And there really are spiritual forces of evil in the world. There really are. There's a devil and there are demons that want to cause all kinds of trouble for us. They're the enemy. In John 8:44, the scriptures tells us that the devil is a murderer and the father of all lies. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it describes him as the god of this age who blinds people's minds to the truth. In 2 Corinthians 12:17, he is a tormentor. In 1 Thessalonians 3:5, he is the tempter. In 1 Peter 5:8, he is the roaring lion looking to devour. In Revelation 9:11, he is Apollyon, the destroyer. And in Revelation 12:3, he is the great dragon who pursues and devours. In Revelation 12:9, he is Satan who leads the whole world astray. And finally, in Revelation 12, verse 10, he is the accuser of the brothers. All those words are pretty descriptive of the enemy we face. And verse 11 says, but we take our stand against his schemes. And the scripture says, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand. It's not if the day of evil is going to come, it's when. There is a day of evil. And I believe to some extent we're living in the day of evil right now, but there's more to come. And we take our stand against his schemes. 1 Timothy 3 verse 7 mentions the trap of the devil. And so he's got schemes and traps. And 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11 says that we are not unaware of his schemes. You know, one of the best battle strategies for an army is to know your enemy and how they operate. And so we need to know his schemes and how he operates. So let's talk about that. I call these the devil's devices. There's deception. In fact, in the scripture, anytime it talks about the last days, that is the number one thing to be aware of in the last days is deception. Don't be deceived, it says over and over again. And there's division, fighting against each other. And there's distraction, you know, all the other things that take our eyes off of the end goal. And there's doubt. Do we really believe that God can do what he says he's going to do? Do we really believe that he's coming soon? And then there's discouragement. Anything that can get us down will try to get us down. Those are the works of the enemy. Those are the devil's devices. And ultimately, he wants to destroy us. That's the enemy's goal. He's not your good buddy. Okay? He wants to destroy you. And remember, we are the body of Christ. And so the devil wants to disable us like a body. And we are the temple of God. And so the devil wants to desecrate us. And we are the family of God. So the devil wants to divide us. And we are the bride of Christ. So the devil wants to debase us. And we are the army of God. And the devil wants to disarm us. He is totally against us. All these things are traps and schemes of the enemy. So when we're discouraged, we understand the enemy is working there. When we are deceived, it's the enemy. When we are divided, it's the enemy. Church, don't be fooled. To be at odds with each other is actually part of the devil's strategy. We think we're just having a squabble with each other, but the enemy's behind it trying to divide us. When we dive into desecration and debauchery, that is part of his strategy. He wants to destroy us. Don't be deceived. Don't be distracted. But stand firm. There really is an enemy. And we are not unaware of his schemes. Now let's talk about the equipment we wear. Here it lists off the armor. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 5, it says this, as though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. One of the primary battlegrounds that we have with the enemy is right between our ears. Okay? In the mind. Now, there's a whole theological concept, but let me just kind of give it to you in a nutshell. When you come to Christ and you become a follower of him, he puts a new spirit in you. You have a new spirit, but you got the same old mind. And that mind needs to be renewed and transformed. And that takes time. And so there's a battle in the mind. There's part of the mind that kind of wants to follow Jesus because it's prompted by the Spirit. But there's another part of the mind that wants to just live life as crazy as you can and walk away from Christ. And the battle's in the mind. So we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, the list here in Ephesians chapter 6 is primarily defensive armor, okay? It's for our protection so that we can stand. And one of the ways we stand is simply by knowing who we are in Christ. That helps us stand, just to know who we are. We are his body. We are his temple. We are his family. We are his bride. That makes us somebody. And here in verse 18, it says that we are saints. That word saints is not reserved for the super-duper people who do fantastic things for God. That word saints is for all believers. That's who we are. We need to know who we are, and we need to think that that's who we are. Now, last week, we talked about being spiritually clothed with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Today, we need to be clothed in our battle gear. So let's talk about it. We need the belt of truth. Truth. Now, Satan is a liar. But we know the truth, and we are not deceived. As well, we need to speak the truth. As the body of Christ and the family of God, we must have open and honest communication. Speaking the truth. It's misunderstandings and hidden motives that disable and divide us. So let's always be truthful. That seems like a simple one, and yet I think we struggle with that a lot. And we lie to each other, or we shade the truth sometimes. You know what I'm saying? But we need to speak the truth. We need to know the truth. And then there's the breastplate of righteousness. Now, this is the consistent daily walk of the Christian. Satan is the accuser, as we found, but if we walk in the light, he doesn't get very many opportunities to attack us because we're walking in righteousness. We've got that breastplate on us. And this is the kind of living that guards our hearts. It's the breastplate. Righteousness. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, it says, among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Now listen to this. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Scripture says not even a hint of those things. And I think most of us understand sexual immorality and greed. You know, we try to avoid those things. But what about coarse joking? Foolish talk. Obscenities. Scripture says explicitly that has no place in the Christian. And it's becoming commonplace to hear swear words everywhere you go, oftentimes even out of Christians' mouths. I've even heard of some pastors that think it's kind of the new hip thing to use swear words. But the Bible says don't do that. Okay? That's obscenity. That's coarse joking. That's out of place. We want to be righteous. As the temple of God, immorality and impurity will bring desecration and disruption to our fellowship with God. So let's walk consistently with God in righteousness. Then there's peace. Our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Christ gives us peace with God and with each other. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. When we walk in the way of peace, it's harder for the enemy to get to us. As the family of God, it's when there is strife and when we are not living peacefully together that we become divided. And once we are divided, we are much easier targets for the enemy. So let's keep the unity and live in peace with each other. And then there's the shield of faith. We maintain a confident hope in the reality and power of God. We believe that God, what God says is true. And what God promised will be true. That's our faith, and we hang on to that. Remember back in the Garden of Eden, the enemy's ploy was to cast doubt. Remember he said, did God really say, the seeds of doubt are sown? But this kind of faith or trust can extinguish the doubts that the enemy wants to cast on us. So we have faith in God. 1 John 5:4 says, this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. It's our faith that gives us victory. Because faith is really all about God's power and God's ability. So we've got to have faith. That's where the victory comes. Now, faith can also mean faithfulness. And we know this is a highly treasured characteristic that God is looking for. He's looking for faithfulness. Now, as the bride of Christ, it's when we are unfaithful and indulging in sinful behavior that we become debased. But Christ is looking for a bride and a church without spot or wrinkle, as was shared earlier today. So let's be faithful to him. And then there's the helmet of salvation. This helmet is a mind focused on the ultimate salvation that we receive when Christ returns. Now, if you understand theologically, if you've made a commitment to Christ, you have been saved, you're being saved, and you will be saved. It's all three. There's one day that we will have our ultimate salvation when Jesus comes again, and we are transformed completely into his likeness, and we look forward to that day. And so we have that in our mind. That's our helmet. We're looking forward to the day of our ultimate and final salvation. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ appears, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. We have something to look forward to, and we need to have our minds on that, church. His return means our ultimate victory. We're the army of God, and we're going to win. And as the army of God, when we take our eyes off of the goal, when we don't really believe we can win, then the enemy has disarmed us. So let's keep our eyes on the end goal. Christ is coming soon. The victory is his and ours with him. And then, finally, we come to the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is our offensive weapon. His Word drives back the enemy. In Revelation 12, verse 11, it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. In John 18, when Jesus was in the garden and the soldiers came to arrest him, you know the story, he spoke. There were words coming out of his mouth, and they drew back and fell to the ground, just at the word of Christ. In Jeremiah 23, verse 28, God himself says, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces?" There's power in the word of God, and it drives back the enemy. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." There's power in the word of God. It's our offensive weapon to push back against the enemy. In fact, all of this armor actually is related to the word, to the Bible. John 17:17 says that the word is truth, just like our belt of truth. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "Scripture trains us in righteousness," the breastplate. Right here, it says that the readiness that we need in peace comes from the gospel. Romans 10:17 says that our shield of faith, faith comes from the word. Romans 1:16 says the gospel is the power for our salvation. So all of it, it's in the word, all of this armor. So read your Bible. Get it into you. That's your armor. And all of this armor is tied to Jesus as well. So draw near to Jesus. John 14:6 says that he is the truth. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that through him we become righteous. Ephesians 2:14 says that we have peace through Christ. Hebrews 12:2 says that he is the perfecter of our faith. Acts 4:12 says that salvation is found in Christ. And Revelation 1:16 shows us a sword coming out of his mouth. All of this armor is in the word, and it's in Jesus Christ. And so we need to read the word, and we need to draw close to Jesus, because that's our armor. Yeah, a little enthusiasm's welcome. All right, so there's a real enemy, but we've got some equipment to deal with the enemy. And then let's talk about the energy that we use. In verse 18, it says, "Pray in the Spirit." And Jude, verse 20, there's only one chapter in Jude, but verse 20 says a similar thought. "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit." The energy we use comes from the Holy Spirit, and we can build ourselves up as we pray in the Spirit. In fact, this idea of prayer is a priority. Back in Acts chapter 6, you will find the details about the original 12 apostles began to delegate a lot of the ministerial duties. Okay, there was a lot of stuff going on, and so they began to hand that out so other people can do all that stuff. And then they said in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, "And we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." They felt that that was the most important thing. And so if we're getting spread too thin, we need to pass everything else out to other people so that we can focus on prayer and the ministry of the word. It's a big deal. It's important. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us." His power. And we think about the army being the army of God. It's not our power, it's his power. So we draw from his strength. Mark 14:38 says this, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Watch and pray. We are to be alert. Pay attention. Watch. Be alert. And always keep on praying, because that's where our energy comes from. Now, back in our text, Ephesians chapter 6, did you notice all the A words there towards the end? There's a lot of A words, and I'm wondering if perhaps this is God's clever way of showing us the priority of prayer. A. They all start with A. Pray on all occasions. Anytime, anywhere, always ready to pray. Pray with all kinds of prayers and requests. That means pray publicly, pray privately. Really, the essence of it is leave nothing untried. Pray with all kinds of prayers. So pray for yourself. Ask a friend to pray for you. Ask the elders to pray for you and so on. Don't leave anything undone, but just keep on praying. And a request here means to ask with urgency. Okay? Now, I believe God hears our hearts. And we can pray a silent prayer. But I also believe there's a time when we need to lift our voice and express the urgency that we have and say, Lord, I need your help. There's a place for that. Then it says, be alert. Another A word. Be aware of the enemy's opposition. We talked about today. And always be alert for evangelistic opportunities. Because one of the ways we push back against the kingdom of darkness is to expand the kingdom of God by bringing in new believers. Now, this being alert literally means don't be sleeping. Anybody sleeping out there? Okay. Don't be sleeping. In 1 Samuel 26, Saul was asleep when his spear and his water jug were taken. In Judges chapter 16, Samson was asleep when his hair was cut and his strength left him. So let's not be asleep. Let's be alert. And then here's another A word. Always keep on praying. That is to pray with perseverance. In Luke 18, Jesus told the parable of the persistent widow to show us that we should pray and not give up. Prayer is where our strength comes from. If your prayer isn't answered right away, keep on praying. That's not a lack of faith, but actually reveals your belief that God can answer your prayer. So I'm going to keep on praying. And even if he doesn't answer in the way that I imagine, prayer is going to build up my faith to keep on trusting him anyway. So I keep on praying. Church, let's keep on praying. Let's not give up. At just 5'10 and 202 pounds, Walter Payton was not a particularly big running back for the NFL. But in 1987, he set one of sport's greatest records, the all-time rushing record of 16,726 yards. During his 12-year career, Payton carried the football over 9 miles. What is truly impressive, though, is that he was knocked to the ground on average every 4.4 yards by someone bigger than himself. But he kept getting up, and he kept getting up. Great victories await those with great endurance and perseverance. So let's keep on praying. And then it says, for all the saints. Another A word, for all the saints. That's you and me, church. We're the saints. We need each other's prayer. And even more so as the end draws near. Jesus said we would face persecution and trouble. Our strength to stand ultimately comes from him, so we need to pray and pray for each other. We are the army of God. We know our enemy. We are equipped for the battle, and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit through prayer. We're the army of God. So listen to this. I am a soldier in the army of my God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word are my weapons of warfare. I've been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I'm a volunteer in this army, and I'm enlisted for all eternity. I will either retire in this army at the rapture or die in this army, but I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I am there. If he needs me to teach the children, work with the youth, help adults, or just sit and learn, he can use me because I'm there. I'm a soldier. Listen to this. I am not a baby. I'm a soldier, not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I'm a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I'm a soldier. I am not a wimp. I'm in place, saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I am completely committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. Jesus called me into this army. I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I will still come out ahead. I will win. My God has and will continue to supply all of my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph because I can do all things through Christ. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I'm a soldier. I'm not done yet. Even death cannot destroy me, for when my commander calls me from this battlefield, he will promote me to captain and then allow me to rule with him. I'm a soldier in the army, and I'm marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier marching, heaven bound. Here I am. Will you stand with me? Oh, boy, that was your cue, church. If you're going to be in the army of God, let's stand. Church, we are the army of God, according to the scripture, and there really is an enemy, a spiritual enemy that we face. And he wants nothing more than to destroy us. We are not unaware of how he operates. So let's be equipped with what God has given us. Truth, righteousness, faith, peace, the word of God, all those things. And let's stand firm all the way till the end. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for calling us and choosing us to be part of your army. God, now help us to stand firm and stand strong. To resist the works of the enemy. Help us, Lord, to be fully equipped with all the armor, all the tools that you have given us. Let us not leave anything undone, but put it all on and walk wholeheartedly with you. And Lord, I pray that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit. God, we know that our strength is weak, but your strength is unlimited. And so we come to you and we ask for your empowerment. To stand against the enemy. Help us to carry out your plans faithfully. Help us to be good soldiers in your army. And we commit ourselves to you. And we say, sir, yes, sir. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God's blessings on you. Go with Christ. See you next time.